Mingus, the Nodding Your Head Blues. There's a lot that you can learn by the way someone nods their head or turns their head or blinks or anything like that. And I've gotten quite an education in the body language game from Tanya Ryman. She is a body language expert and author. The last time we spoke with her, she was helping us analyze Derek Chauvin's body language around the time of the verdict. But she's also somebody that helps people improve their own body language and be a bit more self-aware. If you want to learn more about her or check out some of her books, you can go to her website, Tanya Ryman, ReimAN.net. Tanya, it's great to see you. Thank you for coming in studio this early.
Thank you for having me.
So let's begin with our colleague, since everybody seems to be talking about him. Rudy Giuliani was on Tucker Carlson's program last night. Here's a little bit of Rudy on Tucker on the Fox News Channel yesterday.
Tell us what happened yesterday.
Well, about 6 o'clock in the morning, there was a big bang, bang, bang on the door. And outside were seven FBI agents with a warrant for electronics. And I looked at the warrant and I said, you know, this is extraordinary because I've offered to give these to the government and talk it over with the government for 2 years. I don't know why they have to do this. The agents seemed somewhat apologetic, I might say. They were very, very professional and very gentlemanly. The only time they got perturbed is at the end of the surge when they had taken about, I'd say, 7 or 8 electronic items of mine, which is what they took, and 2 of someone else's. They weren't taking the 3 hard drives, which, of course, are electronic devices. They just mimic the computer. I said, well, don't you want these? And they said, what are they? I said, those are Hunter Biden's hard drives. And they said, no.
Tanya, what did you take away from seeing Rudy in this first TV interview since his apartment was raided by federal authorities?
Well, first of all, you have to realize with each and every person that we look at, we're looking for their baseline behavior. Mm. So Rudy Giuliani tends to widen his eyes quite often. Like, he opens them to the point where you can almost see the full white around them. In addition to that, he also sticks his tongue out a lot, like a lizard. So
even under normal circumstances?
Under normal. Okay. So that's part of his baseline. So anyone who's watching him yesterday might be thinking, that's deception. No, you have to know what someone's baseline is before you can determine, you know, how they're feeling. He did 2 things that bothered me. When he was talking about the hard drives, he went, no, 8 times he said the word no in this really high-pitched voice. That is not his baseline. So that was a red flag. He also said, everything was very nice. They were kind. You know, we had this great communication. But at the same time, he said, they smashed in my door. So were they kind or did they smash in your door? Another red flag. So there were certain things that he did. I think his repetition is another problem. I never, ever, ever did this. So when you repeat something over and over again, that's another red flag. So there were 3 things that bothered me watching that very short interview.
Interesting. So the raising his voice when he was mimicking the FBI agent's response to the Hunter Biden hard drives, the repetition and the dichotomy between him saying they were very professional and very nice and that they were banging in his door at 6 a.m.
Right.
in the morning.
Right. And in addition, the last thing, when he was talking about the hard drives, his blink rate went up, which is also not normal for him. We typically blink like 20 times a minute. When we're on TV, we blink more often. His blink rate was about 90 for a very short period of time, but that's a high indication of anxiety.
Is that an indication in your view that he was being deceitful or that he was nervous, maybe both, or is it unable to know it?
You can't really know that for sure from that small piece of information. But what you can know is that when somebody does that, that means their fight or flight is going off. So it could be anything from, you know, sexual arousal to frightened arousal. All I knew is he was asked 1 question and the blink rate shot up. And that told me that 1 question made him nervous.
Is there anything that you can tell from Tucker Carlson's body language in that interview?
No, I wasn't really watching.
Really?
Tucker.
Got it. Now, I, you know, have seen Rudy Giuliani around here a little bit, and I've seen him in other TV interviews. He actually, and obviously I'm not a professional, but to me in that interview, he seemed a bit more serious and, I don't know, a little less hyper than he's been in recent TV interviews. Did you take that away at all?
I did, but I think that also has to do with the fact that he's no longer in front of the cameras with Trump or for Trump. I think it's him now, so
I see.
It damps it down a little bit.
Interesting, interesting. So this could be nerves, could be something else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very interesting. All right. In terms of President Biden, this was a little bit of President Biden's remarks in his first speech to a joint session of Congress.
I come to talk about crisis and opportunity, about rebuilding the nation, revitalizing our democracy, and winning the future for America. I stand here tonight, one day shy of the 100th day of my administration, 100 days since I took the oath of office and lifted my hand off our family Bible and inherited a nation, we all did, that was in crisis. The worst pandemic in a century. The worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. The worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. Now, after just 100 days, I can report to the nation, America is on the move again.
What can we learn or take away from President Biden's body language in that address?
He did very well. And there are certain times that it looks like he's closing up. But when you put your hands together in front of you, sometimes, especially when you're standing in front of a podium, that's more of a professional gesture. It says, hey, I'm presidential, so to speak. He spoke clearly. He did make some verbal flubs. But with him, of course, we know that he was a stutterer. So a lot of times people make fun of him and they're like, oh, he has dementia. He can't even get the sentence out correctly. But the truth is the stuttering makes him slow down and then restart the sentence.
We had a guest yesterday who remarked that he seemed to become a bit more energetic towards the end of the speech. I'm curious, did you notice any changes in his body language from anything to anything as the speech went on, or did you find him pretty consistent throughout the remarks?
He spoke very low at certain points, like when he was talking, I think it was when he was talking about healthcare. His voice went down really low to the point where I had to raise the volume. And then as it went on, I mean, he was energetic. He is pretty good at reading teleprompters. You don't always recognize that he's looking at the teleprompters. He looks and then he makes eye contact with the audience. And what I mean by audience is us at home. So he's not looking at the people sitting around him. He's looking directly at that red dot so that we feel like he's reaching us. And that's important.
If people have questions for Tanya, they can give us a call, 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. We are joined in studio by body language expert Tanya Reiman, who is one of the most sought after body language analysts in the entire country. Very lucky to have her. And also, she's the author of the book, The Power of Body Language, among others. You could check those all out at her website. And certified as a friend of Juliette Huddy.
Oh, I also want to say, because she is my friend, I know that when you're talking about political personalities specifically, sometimes this happens when she talks about controversial personalities in general. But I've known Tanya for a long time, and I met her when I was working at Fox News. Tanya obviously, she's a human being who has her own personal opinions about politicians, about whoever, but she really does talk to you scientifically. She bases things on the science and what she's learned. And I always get worried because I know that there are a lot of people, for instance, who love Trump on the station or who love Rudy on the station. So I just would implore you to just listen to her and also look at the things that she said in the past about Democratic personalities. Obama, for instance, she used to rip apart, I remember, back when I was at Fox. But that's really important because I think sometimes people can hear what they think they want to hear. And I know Tanya's politics, and I know that she likes certain people and doesn't like certain people, but she's always fair with her I think, with her, what would you call it, evaluations.
Why, thank you. That is very kind of you to say thank you.
Well, it's true, but I think it's important for people to understand
right,
that.
Right. There's no bias in body language analysis, at least
right.
coming from
now,
you.
You have to separate the two. That's the truth. You know, one more thing I want to say, because this is something that really does make a difference. One of the things I noticed with Biden this time around that I don't normally see is he used a lot of thumbs up gestures. Thumbs are power digits. So because we're the only ones that have them, when you use your thumbs up, people tend to respect you more. So even it's also a male alpha dominating position. If you put your hand in your pocket and leave your thumb out.
So I know Bill Clinton and Donald Trump both did a lot of thumbs up
well,
stuff.
This was different. You're right. He did. Actually.
Which one? Clinton or Trump?
Both of them. Well, Clinton started doing this, like a pincher finger, because the pointer finger was way too aggressive. So that's another reason why most politicians don't do that, the pointer finger, as much, although I did see Biden do that several times yesterday.
I see politicians, I mean, even female politicians, when they're standing there and they're giving speeches, they do the thumb thing. They accent their with the thumb sticking up, and it drives me crazy. Mm. I think it looks so bizarre.
Well, does it? It doesn't look bizarre to you guys?
Well, I you know.
It looks contrived to me at this point.
Well, it is contrived for the most part, unless like his thumbs were static. He wasn't actually sticking them up. They were just leaning. Like he would lift them occasionally off his hands in order to just prove to himself, probably. And sometimes that's unconscious when you're doing it so low that nobody can actually see it.
Is that something that you think the thumbs up on Biden's part was conscious or unconscious?
I think it was unconscious because it was low on the podium. So the whole point is your body affects your brain, right? And your brain affects your body. So based on how you feel, that's how your body is going to respond. But also based on how you sit, how you stand, your brain is then going to take that same emotion. So you can make yourself a little bit happier or you can make yourself a little bit sadder. The thumbs up, that kind of lifts your spirits.
Was there anything else that he did in the speech yesterday or 2 days ago that was different from how he normally speaks?
I think that he was slower and he was trying to be a little less monotonous than he has been in the past.
Interesting.
And one more thing that I thought was really powerful, Ted Cruz stood up and applauded. And I think that is one tiny little step towards possibilities. Mm-hmm. I was very impressed by that. So.
Well, he also, though, was caught sleeping during the speech.
I know.
And then his office put out a statement that basically talked about how terrible the program that Biden was proposing was. So, I mean, it's not as if he's ready
I'm trying to give him a little pat on the shoulder.
Well, I'm not saying you shouldn't, but it was interesting that he was both caught sleeping and applauding. and not at the same time, by the way. There was no sleep applauding.
That would be appreciative.
So we got a call yesterday from Russell in White Plains, who made this suggestion in the final couple of minutes of our show.
Russell in White Plains, hello.
Hi. Can Julia's body language friend analyze this Scott Stringer accuser? She said she was seeing his face on TV all the time, and I haven't even seen him once. She's obviously lying. Thanks.
So I asked you to watch some of the news coverage of Gene Kim, the Stringer accuser, and Scott Stringer giving his response to her accusation. What are the key takeaways from the minute or so that you spent looking at both of them?
You're going to have to bring me back for that one, Frank, because I didn't have a chance to baseline them.
Got it. Okay.
And I don't want to just – that's something significant. I don't want to throw out just generic body language answers.
Well, you'll do anything to come back on
this
radio show,
won't
you?
I love it.
Now, are there any – since people are going into the weekend, for a lot of people it's their final work day before the weekend, any – pro tips that you can give them in terms of being more self-aware and better using body language in their own life to, I don't know, do anything that's positive?
Right. Well, there's a couple of things. You have to come off autopilot. We all tend to just kind of, you know, we're standing up straight and then suddenly we start to slouch and we don't realize it. That's kind of coming off autopilot and recognizing self-awareness, lifting yourself back up. What we talked about a few weeks ago was, you know, holding eye contact, smiling, nodding at people. making people feel like you're warm and approachable. And that's the most important thing when you're dealing with anyone, making yourself seem approachable. So those are the tips I give people just when they're meeting somebody for the first time.
All right. Well, it is always a treat to have you in studio, Tanya. And we are going to have you back to analyze the Scott Stringer dueling press conferences.
Excellent.
Maybe Tanya can analyze when you get an invite the last minute to, let's say, two colleagues who you work with throw you an invite to dinner that they had planned for what sounds like weeks.
Yes.
No, it was not weeks. You know, I'll tell you exactly what happened. I don't want to interrupt. Yeah. So we made plans, Rachel and I, to go to Michael's of Brooklyn. And I remembered that Juliet kept saying that she wanted to come. So I made a short list of people that Rachel would approve of.
I didn't get to make the list.
No, you did. You did. She vetoed a bunch of people. And then I worked my way down from the top of the list. And I reached out to Juliet first. And I said, we're going to Michael's of Brooklyn
Friday.
Wait.
I was at the bottom of the list?
Yeah,
what is this about?
I said, I said first.
That's a Freudian slip.
Sorry.
I said first.
Tanya Ryman, no,
that
busted
you.
What did I say?
You
said first.
I worked my way down.
Worked my way down.
I got to Juliet. And got to Juliet.
No, worked my way down. But I said,
300 more people, and I might have even been there.
I
still didn't get the invite. I allegedly was on this quote-unquote list.
No, but so I texted Julia. I said, Rachel and I are going to Michael's of Brooklyn anyway.
And 200 people turned us down already.
That is not accurate.
That's cool. I'm used to apparently being at this radio station, one of the last people to be thought of.
He's going
to
shut
that
mic off
right now.
It's
the whole political thing.
It is not true.
I'm only kidding. Relax. I wouldn't believe me. You have no idea how much my husband hates doing things on Fridays. He's really looking forward to it. And if I thought that this was some sort of charity thing.
No, not at all.
Or you were worried that I was going to be upset with you when I found out that you had gone through all these other people
me. I'm in a bad way here with Christian and Julia. I got nowhere to go. I said, we're going anyway, and we'd love to see you if you want to come. And then Juliet says, as long as I pay the bill, they will come.
Yeah, right. And he's like, oh, well, you're definitely going to. I'm kidding. We won't ask you to do that.
But, who knows?
Because I'll have a lot of cocktails. Turn out to be very expensive.
You and me both.
Do they serve cocktails or is it just wine?
Are you kidding? Absolutely.
Oh, I don't know.
Right. Absolutely.
Excellent.
I haven't left there sober yet.
Fantastic.
All right. You can come too, Tanya. Maybe you could be Christian's date.
Oh!
Yes.
Okay. Well, Tanya's husband probably wouldn't like that.
But. Fair enough. All right.
We can just go as partners in crime.
There we go.
15 seconds of fame next. 1-800-848-WABC. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.